We bless Jesus for the continuous outpour of his word of grace in our midst. And I must say, I have personally been greatly blessed, even preparing, not to talk of teaching, through every teaching or series that we have here in GOG. The current series is not an exception, as I am sure all who have followed and are still following and are listening even right now, have indeed been tremendously blessed by God on the subject of the amount. The Sermon on the Amount. I know we remember that it is not the Sermon on the Mount, and we can clearly say now that it is not the Sermon on the Mount, it is the Sermon on the Amount. We have seen four parts already, and we are running the final part today. Let's remember that this teaching is aimed at a greater stability, discipline, and accuracy in knowledge as it relates to how we give our finances to God and the work of his ministry. As we know, in this teaching, we are treating how many F's? Seven F's to help us sail through properly on what Holy Spirit has in store for us by the grace of God. We have covered the first six F's in the four parts of this series. Today is part five. And oh, what a blessing they were. There is a high probability you are not giving according to the dictates of the New Testament if you are yet to be exposed to the truths we shared in the last four parts. Let me say that again. There is a high probability you are not giving according to the dictates of the New Testament if you are yet to be exposed to the truths we shared in the last four parts. Thank you, Jesus. Let's remind ourselves of the seven F's again. Sister Dami, remind us of the seven F's again. Thank you, Jesus. What are the seven F's? The fundamentality of the amount, the freedom of the amount, the focus of the amount, the flow of the amount, the forms of the amount, the faith of the amount, and then the fruits of the amount. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we'll be going forward. We've done the first six F's already. Thanks for bringing it out, Ms. Falake. Fundamentality, freedom, focus, forms, faith, flow, fruits. We've done the first six already, in no particular order as it is listed here. For the last one we did was the faith. And today we'll be going forward to the fruits of the amount, a subject I personally cherish. Okay? Let's kick off with a recap of all we have learned so far, and then we flow properly into today's message, what God has for us. Please, I would like everyone to be very attentive. The kind of attention you gave for the first four parts, please multiply it by three and make sure you are attentive, because this subject is quite dicey, and it's good you get it. If you get it, it's to your advantage. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we first talked about the fundamentality of the amount. Under that subject, in part one, we discussed massively the importance of teaching on finances and our readiness to receive instructions of grace on the subject of money. Okay? The pastor should teach it. The people should be ready to receive. But the instructions should be on grace. Mm-hmm. We discussed the importance of a minister of God taking the teaching on money seriously as something that deserves consistent reflection. And the people should be ready to listen to. Because this growing generation has this mindset and outset that once you start talking about money, see them, money mongers. Remember the statistics we did? Do you remember the statistics we did about how what the Bible said about money? Okay, we ran through some statistics. We said the word baptism is found 40 times in the Bible. The word prayer is found 275 times in the Bible. 350 times verses in the Bible talks about faith. 650 verses talks about love. while finance, material possession, and wealth are covered in 2,350 verses in the Bible. That shows an emphasis. You are clearly tearing off scriptures if you refuse to teach on the amount. It is the question is not you teaching it, it is what are you teaching and how are you teaching it. Okay, so we must be ready as people. Don't join the generational decline that doesn't want to even hear anything about money in the teaching of the gospel. No, this Bible, there is a center passage, 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, devoted to giving. It is that important. Hallelujah. So we talked about the fundamentality of the amount, okay? We saw it clearly that if your financial life is not going scripturally well, then it follows that your spiritual life is most probably not going scripturally well. We also explained that there is no problem with being rich in this world. You remember that? But the problem with being rich in this world is when you are not positioned to be graciously instructed in being rich towards God. Okay? If you are not positioned to receive gracious instructions, okay, in being rich towards God, then your being rich in this world is a problem. It's a big problem. All right? Luke chapter 12, verse 21. In all your givings, please ensure to give me the NLT. Let's open up with that in order to remind ourselves of what we talked about under the fundamentality of the amount. I like to do a recap so that we don't lose it. All right? We don't lose it from the beginning. Before I get to the fruits, a quick recap. Luke 12, 21. I will appreciate the NLT in all your giving. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 12. And verse 21. All right, thanks for the version, for the NLT. Jesus said, yes, a person is a fool. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. If you read other versions, okay, I guess you guys were looking for NLT. That's why I didn't drop this verse on time. I needed other versions too. But the NLT was quite plain. It showed the conclusion in a larger form. That language, but not have a rich relationship with God, is simply, but not rich towards God. I like that. You can be rich in this world, but you are not rich towards God. That is lugubrious. That is sardonic. You are on your own. What is wealth? But it is fine. God is cool with you being rich in this world as long as you are rich towards God, rich in good works. And that is why you need teachings like this, teachings cooked up in the gospel of grace, not the ones that will go and put you in the bondage of the law, in the gospel of grace. All right, this is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. I like that line, not rich towards God. All right. Luke 12:21. So is it a layer top treasure for himself and is not rich towards God? Thank you, Jesus. That's one thing we brought out when we talked about the sermon, the fundamentality of the amount. Hallelujah. Then everybody, wherever you are, just say to yourself, I am not a fool. I am not a fool. Jesus said it is a fool that stores up earthly wealth and is not rich towards God. Okay? God has no problem with you being rich as long as you are positioned to be graciously instructed in being rich towards God. It's okay to be rich in this world as long as you are rich in good works. Okay? Alright, say to yourself once again, I am not a fool. Thank you, Jesus. Let's remember the fundamentality answers the question, why should I give? Then we move ahead to the freedom of the amount. Okay? Here we clarify that you are free to give anything you decide. God gave you that freedom, as in, you are that free. The giving of the New Testament is not bound to a particular percentage. You know that by now. Some people know it, but they are still, they are still in the bondage, in quotes. Because it's not easy. Hallelujah. You are free. You are free. The giving of the New Testament is not bound to a particular percentage, but you have the freedom of proportion. Okay? We've talked about proportion. You know what that means if you have been following this series. You give as God has blessed you. You give as God has blessed you. There is no difference between grace living and grace giving. Do you remember that? No difference between grace giving and grace living. You are not told to live by grace, but give by law. You know, some people claim that they are grace teachers. Yes, we are under grace, but when it comes to giving, they say, no, it has to be 10%. I don't understand. You teach gracious living, but you teach lawful giving. I don't get. Grace living and grace giving is the same. There is no difference. The doctrine of grace does not stop when you bring out your purse. Please write that down if you are in this teaching. The doctrine of grace does not stop when you bring out your purse. The doctrine of grace does not stop when you bring out your purse. You are as the doctrine of grace grants you freedom in the living, so it grants you freedom in the giving. The doctrine of grace does not stop when you bring out your purse. Bromayo, are you here? I want to see your own. The doctrine of grace does not stop when you bring out your purse. All right, thank you, Jesus. It is grace all the way. Remember our sitting context? Is Miss is Lady Muyasore here? Thank you, Jesus. Our main context, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. That is the verse that should always remind you of the giving in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Scripture says each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. As in, this is a clear verse. And this is seated in the art of the Bible as it relates to New Testament giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. He himself gives cheerfully, so join him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We reminded ourselves in that teaching, when we talked about the freedom of the amounts, we reminded ourselves that there are two things a believer cannot do when it comes to giving. I know some of you might have forgotten, or you might know it, but you might not know that, you might not be able to figure it out immediately, so I won't ask it as a question. There are two things a believer cannot do when it comes to giving. You cannot rob God. So any doctrine that tells you that you are robbing God, be guided, is a lugubrious doctrine. A believer in Christ cannot rob God. There are so many things that bars it from happening. To rob means it's not your own. To rob means there is God's own, there is your own. All those things doesn't happen in the resurrected life. You are one with Christ. Stop all that thing. Stop it. A believer cannot rob God. And what's the number two? A believer cannot hold God. Hey. A believer can't rob God. A believer cannot hold God. You are not holding God. Do you know who God is? Hallelujah. The first thing every believer ought to know in the subject of financial giving is the freedom we have in Christ concerning it. You are free to give anything you decide without any fear of a devourer hunting you down. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Second Colossians chapter 3. Yes, Colossians 3. I'm trying to quote it offhand. What's that verse? Ye are complete in Christ. Somebody should let me look for it so that I can see a verse that sits down with this thing I just said now, so that you can know. In fact, I need the NIV. The NIV of Colossians chapter 2 from verse 12 to 14. Colossians 2 verses 12 to 14. The NIV of Colossians 2, 12 to 14. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians 2, 12. Okay. Okay. Sorry. I need it from 14, actually. In fact, it's just 14 I need. 12 to 14. 12 to 14. 12 to 14. It's fine. 12 to 14 is fine. I just saw it well. Okay. Colossians 2. 12 to 14. Scripture says... It's fine. 12 to 14 is fine, please. 12 to 14 is fine. Thank you, Jesus. Scripture says, having been buried with him in baptism, talking about you in Christ, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God. So some things have happened. Who raised him from the dead? When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God did something. God made you alive with Christ. So you are no longer in your sins. You are not in that atmosphere where you do this, you sin, you sin. God has raised you with Christ. The Bible said he forgave you all your sins. Then look at verse 14. He cancelled the written code. That's the law. He cancelled it. Then I like the recent NIV. It says, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Did you? That's the version I'm looking for. Our charge of our legal indebtedness. Sister Adam, is this NIV? Your own said regulation. Okay, thanks for this, Ms. Falake. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness. There is nothing. You are not in a debt with God. Lie. Elonima song, there's one Yoruba song that always talk about what will I do? He has done, what will I do? Like you are owing. Hello, God ain't needing you to pay back. You are not under an obligation. What he only needs is an appreciation, okay? Your lifestyle of holiness is not an obligation to the laws of God, is an appreciation to the finished work of Christ. Okay, so that was just by the way, having cancelled. Jesus has cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness. In this kingdom, we don't talk about I am owing God. We don't talk about I am robbing God. It is, okay, Elonima son forba ogo. Thank you, Jesus. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. I like this version, Passion Translation. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently. And I love what Jesus did. It was a public display of cancellation. God cancelled it. Okay, I don't want to fly into some things that will be coming up in the next conference. Let's just move ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Where on planet Earth are we? We are in the freedom of the amount. So settle it in your heart. You are free to give anything that you decide without any fear of a devourer hunting you down. Settle that in your heart. We moved ahead to the focus of the amount. So now that we have learned freedom, it is good that you quickly learn the focus. You have the freedom. Yes, but you need to learn the focus. Here we clearly saw what is in God's heart concerning the freedom he has blessed you with. He blessed you with freedom, but he has a desire. Oh, there is something in his heart. And then we learned what the focus is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. When it comes to the amount, look at the focus in God's heart. Alright, we saw what was in God's heart concerning the freedom he has blessed us with. Yes, we are free to give whatever we decide. But the focus of the New Testament is to guide us into deciding properly. See it. You are free to give what you decide. The focus of the New Testament now is to help you decide well. Go back, decide. You don't just decide lugubriously. Alright. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I asked for 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. Okay. Just as we aim, if I ask you, some of you now, what are your aims? What do you expect God to do for you, let's say in your spiritual life, the remaining days of 2021? I'm sure some of you will be like, I want to increase in my prayer life. Or some of you will be like, I want to be able to share the gospel the more. Some of you will be like, I want to do this. But do you say, I want to improve in how I give towards the gospel, and you go for it? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7, but since you excel in everything. I like that. These Corinthian people, They excel in everything. They needed teaching on that of giving. In faith, forget. They are there. In speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love of God, the understanding of how much God loves them, which the apostles kindled in them, which is manifesting for themselves. The scripture ended with, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. That is the focus. That is in what is in God's heart. The aim of learning on the amount is so that we can be excellent grace givers. I remember telling us one time that somebody asked me or so, something like that, I think, trying to remember properly. So you mean you don't give tithes? And I said, I don't understand your question. You're asking out of concern. And the person was like, I don't understand your question. If what you asked me was, so you mean you don't give excellently? I will understand. I do. So, but if you're asking me, it's like asking Ronaldo that just joined Manchester United. So you mean you don't swim on the pitch? He won't understand. Because he is on a football pitch, not on a swimming pitch. The dispensation I am has his own dictate. So I don't understand. And check all through, you don't find such thing. You don't find the best place for Paul to have thought on Titan was in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He had the freedom to do it. Instead, he will say, I am not commanding you. He will use the word, I am advising you. He had everything. He said, not of compulsion, not of necessity, not grudgingly, everyone as he has decided in his heart, for God loves a freely giving giver. That's the meaning of cheerful giver. Choose it, propose it in your heart, and do it. That is what God loves. What he is only trying to do for you is to guide you to propose well, to propose rightly. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so we said, because it is true that we can't rob God, or we can't owe God, does not mean we can't try to mock God. Remember that? A believer can try to mock God. You can't successfully mock God. Hope you know. You can't successfully mock God. But in the New Testament, we don't talk of rob or hoe. If there's anything you talk about, is mock. In the context of giving, Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. In the context of giving, Galatians 6, 6 to 8, Paul said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Some people have used it for whatever you sow, you reap. Stay with context. He was talking about giving. God is not mocked. Is if you are being blessed by the gospel and you are not giving excellently towards it, you are trying to mock God. Okay, you are not owing God. You are not robbing God, but you are saying, I took it, but what is it to me? You are not appreciating. It is the opposite of appreciation. It's called mocking. All right. But God, Bible said God is not mocking. In other words, God, your lugubriosity will not stop it. God will still prosper his work. It is only to your advantage, your spiritual blessing, that you did not deny yourself of being a part, of being an excellent grace giver. That's Galatians 6, 6 to 8. Say to yourself, I am not a God mocker, wherever you are. I am not a God mocker. Thank you, Jesus. We learned that honor to God positively boomerangs. You remember that? He that honors me, I will also honor. And those who truly honor God don't give by reminders, neither do they give by remainders. We also learned about being ready to be a part of the propagation of the gospel, whereby we consider it a responsibility, not gullibility, as this new generation teaches. That why will you be giving? In the freedom of the gospel, consider it a responsibility to always be there. All right. Thank you, Jesus. The freedom and the focus basically answers the question, how should I give? Then we move to the flow of the amount. Talked about where should I give, okay? Because it is not just in giving. It is, where did you give it to? Hope you sowed on the right ground. Even in the parable of the sower, he sowed among thorns, he didn't yield. He sowed among this, he didn't yield. Until he sowed on the good soil. So you ought to answer the question properly. Where am I supposed to give? And there we learned where God wants us to invest the amount. There is a direction God expects our resources to naturally flow as believers, okay? The propagation of the ministry, do you remember? The appreciation of the minister and the intervention for the ministered. Those three things. We explained it elaborately. I want to thank God for the lives of the GOG members. We saw an increase in giving over the past few days and weeks of this teaching. And I pray God's blessing is multiplied on everyone who have truly keyed into this, in the name of Jesus Christ. The propagation of the ministry, the appreciation of the minister, and the intervention for the minister. We saw it was okay to imitate the Macedonian and Philippian church in giving to the ministry of the word, intervening for the poor, and blessing God's gospel ministers. Paul said at a time the real gospel was being circulated by God's grace through him. You remember that in Philippians chapter 4? We treated that when we did the flow. He said no church gave to him or to his ministry except the Philippian church. That was quite a word. They were probably giving, but not giving towards the real gospel. They were just giving. This ministry said if you tithe, God will. You pack everything. But you saw Paul that is teaching you freedom. You took the freedom, but you don't give towards him. Many people are guilty of that in today's Christianity. Very funny. Paul said, ye know, talking to the Philippians church from Philippians chapter 4, from verse 15 to 19, that no church communicated with me. No church. And I remember telling us that, may you not be among those no church. Okay. I have had people ask me some interesting questions. Maybe after they listened to some of our teachings or attended a number of our conferences. Thank you, Jesus. Questions like, Pastor Dami, why is GOG not having a physical structure of worship yet? And in my mind, I'm like, I don't say that. It's just in my mind. For you to have asked me that question, do you consider yourself an excellent giver enough towards this gospel to ask that question? Okay, because there are some questions that should be asked with moral authority. Moral authority is, and give now. You understand? So you check yourself. How did you expect some things to happen in some ministries? You think it is by packing the hundreds of thousands to another place, but then expecting. In the same way, the Lord ordered that they who preach the good news should be supported by they who benefit from it. You know that verse? You know that verse, right? In the same way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. Somebody please give me 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. Because these are just simple basic truths. Okay? These are just simple basic truths that we need to always keep in mind. I like the NLT of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. You are enjoying it. You loved it. You loved the conference. You loved it. You loved it. So, support it. Like, accurately, excellently, bountifully, support it. All right. I ask for 1 Corinthians 9:14. I need that verse. I need it. I want everyone to read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Hallelujah. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks so much. Now let's just move ahead and be sure we are doing well. Okay. Please let's note that godly freedom is not lackadaisical. Okay. It's not lackadaisical. It comes with a responsibility. You flow your amounts properly to the ministry, minister, or ministered and ministered. With grace and love, okay, as it relates to the gospel. If you are benefiting from it, flow it well. That's under the flow of the amount. We learned that our amounts should be rational. Remember that? Repeated, ready, replenishing, refreshing, received, and rewarded. That's in the teaching under the flow of the amount. You do well to listen to that teaching again. Then we move to the forms of the amount. The forms of the amount that answered, what should I give? Okay, now that there is no stipulated percentage, so what then should I give? This was indeed an interesting subject. I think we did that, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? And we intensively investigated the two kinds of giving of the New Testament. Instead of the plenty giving of the Old Testament, the minka, the hola, the asham, the burnt offering, the tithe, the this, we saw that in the teaching. In the New Testament, just two types. Just two types. You are either giving this or you are giving that. You remember it? You are either sowing sparingly or you are sowing bountifully. And we established at this point that Paul did not go all this length and stretch on the subject of graceful giving only for you to end up as a sparingly giver. The aim is to see you excel in the grace of giving, not to expire in the grace of giving. You are to excel in it. A few days ago, I was listening to a man of God. Was it a few days ago or maybe over a week ago, but quite recently. And he said something. He said, someone who earns $25,000 and gives 10% is more generous than someone who earns $250,000 and gives 10%. And I'm like, And he explained what he meant. I'm like, And he was teaching it under the subject of generosity. So I added. And there are times when, like Zacchaeus, based on God's blessing on you, you know, God blessed Zacchaeus with the truth, with the spirit of grace. People were even saying, how is Jesus in this person's house, the house of a sinner? The thing blessed Zacchaeus so much, he said, half of what I have, I'll give. That's 50%. Jesus doesn't do percent. He just wants you to be a bountiful giver. Alright, you be a bountiful giver. Alright, we talked about there are two things that is that really matters in the subject of bountiful giving. Your allegiance and the amount. The amount is secondary, the allegiance is the primary factor. How yielded are you towards the gospel that you want to be involved in it? Okay, there are the two basic things. Then we talked about three things that identifies a sparingly giver. I won't go into that now. You will listen to that if you want to get it again. In GOG, we advise that every member should endeavor to give a minimum of 5% of the blessings, the income God gives to them, okay, towards the things of God and that of his gospel. I will emphasize the word advice. It's an advice, okay? It's not a command, all right? The reason is we are just trying to be sure that everybody are in the bountiful line, all right? That tithe is not a law for believers. Does not make it a taboo to give up to 10% or more, all right? You are not tithing. You are simply giving the proportion you chose to give based on how God is blessing you. There are times based on proportionality of God's blessing. Personally, I could choose to give 10% of what I've earned, or there are times that I give above 10% of what I earn. But in general, I doubt I've ever gone below 5% of what I earn. That's just a personal thing. I choose it in that range, higher and higher, whatever it is. It is a personal decision. I have that freedom and flexibility, and so do you. Every believer has the freedom and flexibility to give part-time based on how God is blessing them, how blessed they are at the moment. Whatever they are deciding at the moment, choose how you want to give. You are free and flexible. But try as much as possible to stay on course with the subject of bountiful giving. All right? You will do so well to revisit the teaching in order to learn how to differentiate when you are either giving sparingly or giving bountifully. Thank you, Jesus. Then we moved ahead to the faith of the amount. That was last week, where we said this answered the question, to whom should I give? And here we established that God is always in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. God is always in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. We also stressed that the presence and participation of God in the giving process should motivate any believer to excel in the grace of giving. We also noted that the involvement of God in the giving of a believer is never to bring a fear of judgment. No, but an acknowledgement of his ability to reward your loyalty. All right? It was a deep teaching, I believe, and we concluded on the four ways we can know we are acknowledging God in our giving. You're acknowledging God when your giving is planned. You remember that? You plan it. It's not an afterthought. It's not callous. It's something you've planned, okay? It's personal, all right? It's something you determine. You know that you are good with this, all right? See, you can give to your power. You can even give beyond the power, but never you give beyond your will. Never. Never you give beyond your will. Never you be... There's a difference between giving beyond your power. That's sacrificial. And there's a difference between giving and giving beyond your will. You don't want to. Don't. May God bless you with willingness to always do that which He wants you to do. Always in the name of Jesus Christ. You are free to give to your power, and if you so choose, like the Macedonian church, beyond your power, but never you give beyond your will. Your will matters. All right, and there is no fear of judgment, but know that God rewards. God rewards. God rewards. God rewards. And remember, when God wants to reward, like what we'll be really discussing today, He likes to even hide your knowledge from the reward. We'll go into that more clearly. Thank you, Jesus. Planned, personal, proportional, and purposeful. That was a cool recap, Abby. And this ushers us into today's session tagged The Fruit of the Amount. Are we ready now? The Fruit of the Amount. The subject of The Fruit of the Amount talks about divine reward. The reward that God gives when you are committed to generous giving. Hallelujah. The reward that God gives when you are committed to generous giving. Thank you, Jesus. All right. The subject of divine reward is quite dicey, I must admit, because it brings out arguments sometimes. If it is right to walk with God based on the motivation of being rewarded, the Bible is filled with promises of God rewarding both now and in the world to come. The Bible is also filled with dictates of grace and truth about a God who blesses without our input. So why should there be a reward mentality? In fact, there is a great teacher I heard who even said, even in heaven, there is nothing like reward. You don't need to twist scripture. Stay with the Bible. There is a way to teach reward. Okay? And that's why I said everyone should be very, very attentive, so that you don't miss out on the knowledge, the accurate knowledge. You know, the Bible talked about add to your faith knowledge. Okay, that's what you are doing in this session right now, concerning how God rewards and what He wants you to know on the subject of reward. What God wants you to know concerning the subject of rewards. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. We also learned that a sign of sowing sparingly is when we give because we need a reward. Do you remember that? Giving on the basis of a debt. You are like, God, you, okay. It was because when I said, take care of this matter for me, because it will make me comfortable as it relates to the ministry. Or, take care of this aspect of the ministry. But because I did not have... If you do it, God is going to undo this aspect for you. I did not have that. So because of that, it became. But if I had said, I had a vision that you should take care of this for me. I'll take care of this aspect of the ministry. And if you do, do you know that so thing that you have been asking for will suddenly drop? Then you were like, should I drop it twice or should I drop it thrice? You are a sparingly giver. You have not yet come to the freedom of grace in which God needs your will involved. Why He is somewhere just hiding and trying to set you up for a blessing, you needed the reward stated in quotes in order to act responsibly. Hallelujah. Now that teaches sparingly giving. But then, doesn't it kind of confuse? How then do we teach the theology of rewards? Because it's right there in the Bible. How do we balance up the paradox embedded in this theology of reward, in which we have to know God as a God that rewards, versus we have to be careful when it comes to expecting rewards? So where do we come in? Does anybody understand everything I've been trying to bring out? Okay. You know, there are two kind of fake gospels, two major kind of fake gospels when it comes to the subject of the amount. There are two major kind of, I didn't say gospel, fake gospel. You know, Paul said, which is not another. You have moved from the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. It's not actually gospel, it's actually fake. But we have to just use the word gospel because it comes in the sugar coating of the gospel. One is called the prosperity gospel. The other one is not called that way, but that is what it is, the poverty gospel. The prosperity gospel thrives on God rewarding, while the poverty gospel survives on God not necessarily rewarding, but especially now, forget it, just keep doing. No, God is not after the rewarding of anything. God, so these two are both fixed. In that they thrive on God rewarding, and they want to tell you what the reward is, and they want to, if you do this, this will happen, if you do that, that will happen. That's prosperity gospel, is a fake gospel. God won't reward you, is also a fake gospel. So where is the real gospel? What exactly does the real gospel say? We just finished a conference tagged, "Will the real gospel please stand up, Joe Farahon?" Let's know what the real gospel says. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the prosperity gospel says, give so that you can get, or give more so that you can get more. The poverty gospel says, give, but don't expect to get. At least not on yet. Yeah. And I wrote in my notes, loan. Because it's funny. You see, the reason prosperity churches, in quotes, are filled easily is the getting mentality. Getting, it is so natural with our flesh. We like to get. Tell me what is in it for me. What is in it for me? WIIIFM. Okay, you see that in a particular book. What's the title of the book? Highly Effective Life or something like that. Okay. Many of the preachers know it is a catch. Any day, any time. Just tell people to sow 100,000 naira each and promise them to be in millions within 6 months. Abba. It will sell. Me too, I can teach it, but no. That is not the gospel. So how do we balance it up? Because God wants us to know that He rewards. So how do we balance it up? Have I been able to get our attention? That was my essence of going through what I just said. Please write this down. Let me be sure you are here. It might question our educational background. So let me just spell what I will be saying. Ludicrous, okay? Giving in order to get is ludicrous. Ludicrous means foolish. While giving without knowing you will get is, finish it, lugubrious. Lugubrious means sad. It's a sad thing. So let me come again. Giving in order to get is ludicrous. While giving without knowing you will get is lugubrious. To give and you did not know you will get, that God will reward you that you gave. That's a very lugubrious. Whoever is teaching you that, you need to. Which Bible is the person reading? Giving in order to get is ludicrous. It's foolish. It's senseless. It's pointless. It's baseless. You shouldn't go that way. No, don't do that. That is not New Testament. You don't give in order to get. No. Giving in order to get is ludicrous. While giving without knowing you will get is lugubrious. So we're able to do that, Abby. I wrote in my notes, I said the English is too much. You can use giving in order to get is fruitless. Why giving without knowing you will get is senseless, all right? Is one is fruitless, one is senseless. You are missing it on both angles. You are missing it on both angles. You are missing it on both angles, okay? Giving in order to get is ludicrous. That's a dictionary word. While giving without knowing you will get is lugubrious, okay? Are we building up the... Sorry, I am built, but yeah. Okay. Please note, the knowledge that God rewards, the knowledge that God rewards is a basic requirement of the Christian faith. Thank you, Jesus. It's a basic requirement of the Christian faith. The knowledge that God rewards is a basic requirement of the Christian faith. Thanks to everybody dropping it in the notes. It's so encouraging and blessing to me. Hebrews 11 verse 6 is quite a popular verse. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hebrews 11 verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. And he defined what are the components of the faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that's number one. And then you must also believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you, not to know that God rewards is lugubrious. To argue it like no, you are giving to get. You are giving thinking that God will give you back, thinking that no. There is a way to say it. You are not saying it well. You are being lugubrious. You are being ludicrous. If you are saying give to get, that's ludicrous. If you are saying don't worry, God just wants you to just be doing it, not after any reward or anything, that is lugubrious. That's sad. You are just robbing yourself of God's blessing for no just cause. Please give me Ruth chapter 2 verse 12.
You can't do it. I know somebody is laughing now. I know. There's a woman laughing wherever she is now. What now? What's 12? SKG laugh. I hope I got it. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. SKG la. Sure, I got it. Is anyone giving it to me? Ruth 2 and verse 12. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. May the Lord, the God of Israel. This is Boaz. You know, Boaz, I love Boaz. There are so many reasons why I love Boaz. This is Boaz speaking to Ruth. And Boaz is actually a type, in terms of typology, of Christ by some certain characteristics that he showed. Even the name Boaz means in Christ is strength. Boaz. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. May the Lord reward you. I pray for someone here in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord God reward you with a full recompense for every good work you do in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is a rewarder. Say that to yourself. God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Yes, he is a rewarder. Never rob yourself of it too. But then I said giving in order to get is ludicrous. I need a verse for that. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 6 verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. You are giving me a reverse version. What? You think I can read it? Ki Oluwa ki o san esan ohun ti iwo se fun o. Ki o si gba ere kikun. Lati odo Oluwa Olorun Israeli abe iye ni ti iwo sa fun sa wa fun abo. It's just a simple thing. I was there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive a full recompense of reward for every good work that you do in the name of Jesus Christ. God is a rewarder. Don't rob yourself of it. I ask for 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Thanks so much, Sister Dami. These people always cause trouble. How? Their minds are corrupt. How? and they have turned their backs on the truth. How? Why? Look at it. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Wow. So, to give in order to get is ludicrous. Do I have a verse for it? Right there. It is ludicrous. It is wrong. A show of godliness, giving generously, is not in order to get. But it's also lugubrious. If you don't know, you will get. You see why it is dicey. You see why it is dicey? And you have to teach on reward. That's why I said everyone should be here. Thank you, Jesus. These people are always causing trouble. Always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt. And they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become rich. Godliness is a means to financial gain. That's their thought. They think that religion is a way to become rich. They give in order to get. Do you get that now? That is why it is ludicrous. But now that doesn't take away the fact that God rewards. You see where we are now. You see where we are, the balance we are hanging in now. So where do we come in here? Where do we come in? You see, God rewards. God promotes. In fact, let me take us through a quick, check this out. You know Ephesians 1 verse 6 very well. That's a verse every believer in GOG should know. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has what? Accepted us in the beloved. In at redemption, every believer is accepted. You don't do anything to be accepted. You are accepted automatically on the basis of your faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. That is a done deal. As in for all, you are accepted in the beloved. That is a done deal. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. In fact, note that word accepted very well. Note it very well. Thank you, Jesus. Say to yourself wherever you are, I am accepted in the beloved. As in, more accepted. Ninu beloved. I am accepted in the beloved. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are so accepted. You are so accepted. The word used for you is the same that was used for Mary. You see, in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, I'm already doing Gospel of Grace conference now. In Luke 1, 28, the angel appeared to Mary and greeted her in one sweet way like that. Gabriel appeared to her. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored." And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." If you are using a paper Bible, you underline "highly favored." "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Do you know that the word "highly favored" there is the same word used in Ephesians 1 verse 6 for you? It's not only Mary that is highly favored. You are highly favored in the beloved. Charito is the Greek word. Same Greek word. You are in the beloved. You are in the beloved. You are in the beloved. Take note, Mary is not blessed above women. She is blessed among women. Among, not above. Like some people took it to be. Now they took it into a religious extreme. No. But we are highly favored. The same word used for Mary is used for us. We are highly favored. Say to yourself, "I'm highly favored in Christ Jesus." Oh, thank you, Jesus. Were you able to just drink that in? Drink that in. I'm highly favored. Okay, having done that, having got yourself drunk on the truth that you are already accepted in the beloved, you might want to visit Romans 14, verse 18. Romans chapter 14 and verse 18. Romans chapter 14, verse 18. The same apostle that told us that we are all accepted in the beloved still said in another apostle that there are certain actions that make us acceptable to God. And then it now becomes kiloshele. What's going on here? Romans 14 verse 18. "For he who serves Christ in these things." We need to know the context of what he was talking about in Romans 14 to know what he's talking about. So not just anything in these things. "Is acceptable to God and approved by men." So there is something about serving Christ in a particular manner that makes us acceptable to God. I thought we are already accepted in the beloved. Aha! This is where the subject of reward comes in. Acceptable to God here is out of the fact that he has already been accepted, now he is being rewarded for what he is doing as an accepted in the beloved. So you see where it is coming in now. The Greek word for highly favored, the Greek word for highly favored and accepted in Luke and Ephesians is charito, but it's different from that of the acceptable in Romans. This is euaresto. This talks about well pleasing. This talks about an emotion that came based on something done. This is God reacting to your good work. Okay, well pleasing, acceptable, a son that pleases the father. The son is already on the basis of sonship. The son is already accepted. But then imagine, as parents, you understand what I'm saying. There are some things your word will do, and then you just know that it elates you. When we're younger, there is the normal things parents buy for us because we are their children. But there is something we will expect them to buy for us when we carry first. Mommy B, am I speaking sense as a parent? There is the it's not like but then, do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm just trying to say there is the reward. Don't rob yourself of that. And these things are just acts of grace. And God is there just hiding himself so that you just be yourself and just keep doing. He loves a cheerful giver. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. While the charito, accepted, talks about our secured position in Christ, the other talks about our secured rewards in Christ. Do we get what I'm trying to say? God loves every believer, we all do. But then we still read in scriptures, God loves a cheerful giver. He has zeroed it again. But he has said we are accepted in the beloved, but then he still loves a cheerful giver. Somebody who is doing something. Oh, to our love. The simple meaning and explanation is he rewards it. There is a reward. There is a reward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But then it's the spirit of grace, cheerful. No commandment, nothing. The person is just based on appreciation of the gospel, being wise. Thank you, Jesus. Now you catch the gist. That's the question I asked in my note, actually. Do you catch the gist? It simply means God rewards. Okay? Yes, we are accepted. But then there are still things that make God well pleased with us still. So there is a paradox now. What will I put it now? Something that makes it dicey, and that's why you need to learn it. So keep following. We are going somewhere. You will catch it clearly. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now let's quickly talk about the problem with the prosperity gospel and the problem with the poverty gospel before we now talk about the fruits of the amount. Because I know I've talked about prosperity gospel, so people will be like, and then the poverty gospel, and then So let me tell you why I said fake gospels. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. There is the real gospel. The gospel prospers, but there is no prosperity gospel. But the gospel can prosper you. You see how it works? But there is no prosperity gospel. Because the prosperity gospel, as nicknamed in the general term of today's society, is the gospel that says you give in order to get. Do you get that? Now, the problem with the prosperity gospel is that they focus on the reward. Follow carefully. By so doing, they move believers out of grace back into the law. A move that ultimately displeases God. Gospel giving is pulled out of the world of the law into the world of grace. And this should never be a vice versa issue. Like, I move you from law, I move you into grace, then when it comes to giving, I move you out of grace and put you back into law. No. There is a way you focus on the reward, you put people back under law. Do you remember Romans 4:4-5? When you give people that mindset that they walk with God basis on the basis of debts, it leads them to eventually start living by the law. Romans 4:4-5. Thank you, Jesus. Last week we learned about God's involvement in every Christian giving process, but we mentioned that God is hiding himself so that we can be ourselves. God is hiding himself so that you can be yourself. When giving is taught as a means to gain, generosity dies. Please write that down. When giving is taught as a means to gain, generosity dies. We'll get back to that, our 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, but this time around you are adding verse 6 to it. 1 Timothy 6, 5 and 6. When giving is taught as a means to gain, thank you, Jesus, generosity dies. Generosity dies. Generosity dies. Generosity dies. When giving is taught as a means to gain, generosity dies. It is no longer generosity. It is no longer cheerful giving. It has moved to the lawful giving. It has moved to giving grudgingly. It has moved to giving by compulsion, giving by necessity. The dictates that the Bible clearly warned against. When giving is taught as a means to gain, generosity dies. Generosity dies. Generosity dies. Generosity dies. Generosity dies. Thank you, Jesus. Are we doing fine so far? I asked for 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. We've read the verse 5 before. This time around, we just want to read verse 6 with it so that we can be sure we are doing good. We are doing well. We are doing well. Reading from the BSB version, it said, "And constant friction between men of depraved mind who are devoid of truth." It's interesting that people who give to get, the Bible said they have depraved mind. Who are devoid of the truth. These men regard godliness as a means of gain. Of course, godliness with contentment is great gain. So contentment is in the subject of how we expect reward. So that is why you don't give to get. So that you don't miss out on how God especially wants to reward you. Okay, I just read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. When giving is taught as a means to gain, generosity dies. You see, in Christian giving, our hours is never to determine the timing or quantity of God's reward. We are to simply focus on being rich in good works. The expected generosity cannot grow in a world of the law and on a soil of self-interest. No. This is why we must be sure to teach rewards accurately. Look at this about Jesus. Look at this about Jesus. You'll be giving me a lot of verses in a very few moments now, just within the next 2 to 3 minutes. So what you're giving me is 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. You'll be giving me John chapter 10, verse 11, 15 and 18. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, John 10, 11, 15 and 18. I want to do something with Jesus. I want us to see something about Jesus. Something very interesting about Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Remember, 2 Corinthians is a context where Paul is teaching about giving. He's teaching strongly about giving. 2 Corinthians 8 and chapter 9 is teaching about giving. But now I'm talking of 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. A popular verse. Okay, that has also generated some kind of controversies because of the languages used. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is teaching on giving and he brought in this subject. He said, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." He quoted this so that you can give the way Jesus gave himself. He himself was a cheerful giver. But let's check out how cheerful Jesus was in his own giving. Let's analyze the giving of Jesus a little. In John chapter 10, verses 11, verses 15, and verse 18, John chapter 10, verse 11, verse 15, and verse 18. Look at how Jesus gave. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays." You see that word lays? Talk about a willingness. It was not forced. It was not, I did it. He lays down his life for the sheep. So you need to learn about this Jesus that Paul talked about in the context of giving. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Think for the NLT of 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. You know the generous grace of God. So it is a generous action that Jesus did, though he was rich, yet for your sake he laid down his life. 11, 15, 18. Verse 15, Bible said, "Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He is a layer. Then in verse 18, he took it straight. He said, no one takes it from me. Talking about his life. But I lay it down of my own will. It was willing. The generous grace of God was willing. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. As in this mandate I have received. I have the authority to lay it down. I can lay it. I can take it back. Nobody is forcing me. No one takes my life from me. Jesus was not murdered. No, he was not murdered. Jesus gave his life. He was not murdered. He laid his life for us. So if you are learning generosity, you need to learn about the giving Jesus, okay? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. Number one, his giving was not forced. We saw that in the book of John. His giving was also totally willing. Hebrews 10 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. You see Jesus making a bold statement. Speaking to God, yeah, Jesus speaking, he said, then, here I am, I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will, O God. In that, he take away the first covenant and establish the second covenant. That's Hebrews 10, verse 9. Jesus did all this willingly. Here I am. Nobody is forcing me to do it, okay? So you see, it was not a gift to get. It was, I'm giving. Alright? It was also sacrificial. If you check Philippians chapter 2 carefully, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians is a passage we will soon do in GOG. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 8 is quite interesting. Philippians 2 verse 8. Paul explaining what Jesus did. The Bible said, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Then he now said, not just death, even death on the cross. To tell you that it was a sacrifice indeed. Not just that he died, he chose a sacrificial death. So his giving was unforced. It was willing, it was sacrificial, but then it was rewarded. Oh, hallelujah. It was. Philippians chapter 2 still, we just read verse 8. I would like to read verse 9 and verse 11. 9 to 11, therefore God, as in, now God wants to act. All through it was Jesus, I lay. Now, suddenly, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Was that make sense? He make it sense. Alright, we just talked about the problem with prosperity gospel in quote. Okay, now on the other hand, there's a problem with poverty gospel. Because some people in running from prosperity gospel mentality, they now run into poverty gospel. Be guided. God, poverty gospel, it teaches good works. Just be doing holiness. No, everything, let it go. Hey, no, nothing. God is not assigning it. God. The problem with poverty gospel is that it teaches good works, but remove the ability and willingness of God to reward such works in the present age. Paul did not do that. When Paul taught the Corinthian church, it was even like, you guys are now rich. And he meant it. He meant physical wealth. You guys are doing fine now. And it was by the power of the gospel. You guys are doing fine now. But it seems like God has already, I'm quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I think from verse, let me get it for us, for those that might need to note it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me just be reading it from here. From verse 8. I'll read from verse 8 to verse 12. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. How I wish you really were kings, so that we might be kings with you. Because he was telling them that they are not aligning, making it show that he was involved in what God was doing with them. Then he said, for it seems to me that we, the apostles, we are like prisoners appointed, okay, that We have become spectacle to the whole world, to angels, as well as to men. We are fools, talking about the apostles, especially in his own time. We are fools for Christ, but you are wise. What we are doing is making you blessed. We are weak, but you are strong. He's not referring to spiritual weakness. It's physical. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we are hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We walk with our hands. When we are vilified, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. He's saying, these guys, you guys are doing fine. He never said, no, there should be nothing about you doing fine. No. But just make sure that be rich in good works also, because one way or the other, they are already forgetting Paul. All right? The poverty gospel removes the ability and willingness of God to reward such work in the present world. You see, this takes out the fun from cheerful giving and joy from Christianity. God does not just reward. See, he loves to reward. He said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God loves to reward. And his reward comes in his own terms, as you simply fill your life with good works. So, I know everybody is following. And I know these verses might be cumbersome for us, the verse I want to read now, but follow carefully. If you are willing, you can drop the verse. Cool, it's good. I'll be reading Luke chapter 5, 1 to 8. I'll be jumping from here and there, but I'm reading Luke 1, 5 to 8. I'll also read Acts. I'll tell us the place, and then I'll read Luke again. Luke 5, 1 to 8, Acts 9, 36 to 41, Luke 7, 2 to 10. So let me start with my Luke 5, 1 to 8. Luke chapter 5, 1 to hate. It's just a simple illustration I'm trying to bring out. I want to show you how God loves to reward. On one occasion, while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the crowd pressing on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into the boat belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from shore. And sitting down, he taught the people from the boats. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep and let down your nets for a catch. When Simon was giving him the boat, he was not giving in order to get a catch. He just gave it. That is what God loves. Cheerful giver, not, I will use my boat. No. You need me? I better take. When Jesus finished speaking, he was like, guy, oh yeah, throw your nets. Actually, he even used the plural. Let down your nets. When Simon was to talk, he said, I will let down the nets. That's in the KJV, I'll let out the net, singular. When it was through, it was both sinking and net breaking. That's Jesus for us. He loves to reward. Then I said I was going to read Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 41. Take note of some of the details here. Acts 9, verse 36 to 41. When Dorcas was doing everything she is doing, she was not doing it in order to be rewarded, but she knows God rewards, definitely. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated as Dorcas. Then the Bible stated something, who was always occupied with works of kindness and charity. Wow. The Bible didn't have to add that line, but there was a reason. At that time, however, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to urge him, come to us without delay. So Peter got up and went with him. On his arrival, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood around, weeping, not just weeping, and showing him the tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. You see, there are some details the Bible had. Only meaning. Okay. Then Peter set them all out of the room. He knelt down and prayed, and turning toward her body, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Peter took her by the hand and helped her up. Then he called the saints and widows and presented her to them, her life. God loves to reward. God loves to reward. And finally, I'll be running through Luke chapter 7. 2 to verse 10. In all of this, what you won't see is giving to get. Mm-mm. But you will see giving with a consciousness that God rewards. Luke chapter 7, verses 2 to 10. Luke chapter 7. This one sweet. Well. Because it has to do with a centurion who was not a Jew, who had nothing to do with the faith that God was working with as at that time. That's the first covenant. This was the first. Luke chapter 7, right? Verses 2 to 10. Luke 7, 2 to 10. Okay. There was a highly valued servant of a centurion who was sick and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his servant. They came to Jesus and pleaded with him earnestly, "This man is worthy to have you grant this, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." You know, there are some lines you just be wondering. He was not a Jew, but he believed in the God of the Jews, and he built them a synagogue. Cheerful giving, right? Verse 6, so Jesus went with them. And the story is, as you guessed, this servant was healed. How God adds some details of good works in the midst of gracious acts is, did you get what I'm trying to bring out? It is ludicrous to give to get. You are missing out. And it's lugubrious to give without knowing God will get. God will give you back. God will reward you. He's lugubrious. God rewards. God rewards. God rewards. God rewards. Say to yourself, I serve a rewarding Father. I serve a rewarding Father. So now let's move ahead and let's get this done. So how did Paul teach rewards to Christian giving? Anybody interested? How did Paul teach reward? Now that we've known that we should not go for the gift to get, and we've also learned that we should not go for the, don't worry, God does not reward, just keep doing, that is your sacrifice. So you can say the reward of ministry is ministry itself, as if, just to clear your mind out of any kind of reward that you can enjoy. Story. do you know God at all? Calm down. God rewards. He rewards. So learn how Paul taught it. There is a way Paul taught it. So let's check it out. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Are we together now? Before I give you the list of rewards God assures us in his word, right in this context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you will see it there. Before I give it to you, it is okay I tell us what the general reward for generosity is. What the general reward of generosity is. Please note that when Paul taught, he did not teach that the more you give, the more you get. When Paul said, "Those that sow bountifully will reap bountifully," he was not setting up a Ponzi scheme of getting help by giving more. Of GH so that you PH. Alright, everybody, please write this down. Let me be sure we are still here. I've had a break of people writing for a while. So let me be sure that this is blessing us and we are still here. So you're writing this down. It's quite long, so be ready. Paul did not teach the more you give, the more you get. And this is dicey, what I want to say now. So you need to get it. Paul did not teach the more you give, the more you get. Semicolon. Rather, he taught that the more you give, the more you get to give. Now we are going to scrutinize scriptures and understand how reward happens. Follow carefully. Paul did not teach that the more you give, the more you get. The problem is in where you place your full stop. But he taught that the more you give, the more you get to give. That is what Paul taught. So follow it carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 to 11. Let me say it again. Paul did not teach the more you give, the more you get. No, Paul did not teach that. Semicolon. Rather, he taught that the more you give, the more you get to give. The more you get to give. In my notes, I underlined get, but I boldened give. There's a reason. The get did not disappear in the reward. He will give you now. Why won't he give you? But it is actually to give. He gives you to give. The more you give, the more you get to give. The more you give, the more you get to give. Now, read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 to 11 clearly. Carefully, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 to 11. I love it. This is Paul talking about reward. This is reward passage. We will still scrutinize it. Let me see if we can finish it very fast. But I believe this is a blessing so far. Okay, thank you, Jesus. The more you give, the more you get to give. That is what Paul was saying when he said, they that sow bountifully will reap bountifully. The more you will live in a bountiful lifestyle, the more you get to give, because that is the actual focus. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 to 11. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, is referring to the reward now, and bread for food. So God gives seed and he gives bread. Who says he doesn't reward physically? I don't understand. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Verse 11. While you are enriched, yes, you get in everything for all liberality. Can you see how it always circles down? Which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Let me read your version. Now he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. The more you give, the more you get to give. On every occasion, so that you can be generous. God rewards with you getting to give. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Observe carefully and realize that the sower receives more seed in order to sow. Did you notice that the blessing of multiplication was not actually emphatic on the bread? He said there is the seed, there is the bread. But what will be multiplied is the seed. There is a reason. It's not like it will multiply the bread. Because this is the cycle. I'm coming there. I'm jumping my note already. But are you getting what I'm trying to bring out? Shall supply and multiply the seed. He has said there is seed, there is bread. There is bread for food, there is seed for sowing. But for that of the seed for sowing, God will multiply. In other words, the more you give, the more you get to give. God's focus is on the generosity. Please write this down. The reward of generosity is more generosity. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Your generosity makes you generate more generosity. Your generosity makes you generate more generosity. The reward of generosity is more generosity. Multiplies the seed you have sown. It is the seed so that you will sow more, so that you'll be enriched for all liberality. It depends on where you placed your full stop. Don't place it on so that you'll be enriched. That is not how he taught the reward. It is so that you'll be enriched in everything to all bountifulness. So that you'll be enriched in every good work. So that you'll be enriched so that you can give more. You give in order to get to give. That is proper reward mentality. Thank you, Jesus. Your generosity makes you generate more generosity. You see, the focus is more on the good works than on the good life. It's more on the seed than on the bread. Okay? The bread will become a byproduct. In chemistry, we say photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is oxygen coming on the sugar. Oxygen is the byproduct. Carbon dioxide comes upon H2O, six molecules, to give us the sugar, while oxygen is a byproduct. Yes, I got it now. Yeah. So, just as in photosynthesis, oxygen is a byproduct. Oxygen is not what we are going for. Oxygen is something that happened because a reaction happened. When carbon dioxide and H2O reacted properly, the sugar was formed. But oxygen became the byproduct. Oxygen was not what we were trying to go for. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Now, that is what I mean when I say the bread. There is God giving the seed for the sower and bread for food. Bread for food is a byproduct. The main thing that God is after is the seed. That is what he is multiplying. But bread for food, we come now. The prosperity gospel focuses on the bread. You see where the problem is. Focuses on the bread. No. What Paul taught was you give and your reward will be you get to give. You get to give. That is the mentality. That is the reward mentality of the gospel. I'm sure we're able to get it with this photosynthesis. with this photosynthesis analogy. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's move ahead. Where are we? I wrote something in my notes. It's quite long, so I won't put us under law to write it out. But it's sweet if you note it. When you sow bountifully, God rewards you with seed and bread. God rewards with seed and bread. But the prayer of multiplication is basically on the seed. So that your gracious generosity leads to more rewards of seed and bread. So let me come again. When you sow bountifully, God rewards with seed and bread. But the prayer of multiplication is basically on the seed. So that your gracious generosity leads to more rewards of seed and bread. For you to have multiplied seeds to sow. Your full stop must be after seed, not bread. When you sow bountifully, God rewards with seed and bread. But the prayer of multiplication is basically on the seed. So that your gracious generosity leads to more rewards of seed and bread. For you to have multiplied seeds to sow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me read that one more time for those of us that might be putting that down in our notes. When you sow bountifully, God rewards with seed and bread. But the prayer of multiplication is basically on the seed. So that your gracious generosity leads to more rewards of seed and bread for you to have multiplied seeds to sow. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sure we got it, Abby. Now that we have got that clear, That is the general rule of generosity. Now that we have got that clear, let us now talk about how God rewards our excellent giving. Are you ready for that? Or we just end on this note? Hallelujah. We'll run it very quickly. Let me see if we can just talk about it right now. Anybody ready to know how God rewards our excellent giving? Please take notes. How God rewards our excellent giving. Please note that God rewards our giving in two ways. In two ways. Personal fruits and public fruits. You can say privately and publicly. There is the one he does for you personally or privately. And there is the one he does for you publicly. In other words, God rewards generosity both personally and publicly. And the scriptures did not hide them from us. So, are you interested in knowing the personal blessings? The personal rewards that come with generosity? Let's talk about the personal fruits of the amount. The personal fruits of the amount. And we'll be doing that with the last verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For the personal fruits, we'll be treating verses 6 to 8. If you are in this study, you might want to give me that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. And for the public fruits, we'll be reading from verses 9 to 15. And with that, we are through with the sermon on the amount. I hope this teaching will make you review your giving lifestyle and make you choose to indeed be an excellent grace giver. Now that you've learned the fundamentality, the freedom, the focus, the flow, the forms, the faith of the amount, and now you have learned the fruit of the amount, don't throw it away. Start enacting on it. The personal fruit of the amount. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. Scripture says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly, we also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously, we also reap generously. Now, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Then verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Interesting. Nobody gave me that verse in the group. Shatilo Suni. Is it because I mentioned photosynthesis? You guys have gone scientific. Let's come back. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's trash it. Let's trash that verse. God's ability. God's ability. That's number one. One of the personal fruits of the amount. Number one, I have four A's here. Number one, God's ability. You will enjoy God's ability. Okay? You will experience God's ability. Take note of that verse 8. And God is able. I like that. God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is able. You see that line, God is able, is a very powerful line in scriptures. My God is able. He's able, I know he's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. It's a line that touches me because what makes you different as a Christian is that you have the able God working with you. As a cheerful and bountiful giver to the things of God and his gospel, you set yourself into an atmosphere of God's ability. People will say, God, that person's God is able, is active. You are enjoying God's ability. You begin to experience God as the able God. Mm-hmm. You know that slang, able God. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 3 verse 20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, much more than we could ask or think. The able God will be your God. You experience God is able. You see, the power at work in us is what ended Ephesians 3 verse 20, according to his power that is at work in us. That power is talking about the resurrection power, that is a gift of grace that exhibits the exceeding greatness of God's power when he raised Jesus, the cheerful giver of life, from the dead. We enjoy divine ability when we cheerfully give to the things of God. You will be able to testify that nothing is too difficult for God to do. You know, many people have a general mindset that there is nothing too hard for God to do. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But God is able. That reality is active in the lives of those who give cheerfully. It comes as a reward. God is able. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are, say, my God is able. Say, my God is able. I pray for someone listening to this sermon right now. Your daily life will be marked by the ability of God. You will experience God able to heal. God able to make you stand. God able to present you faultless. God able to change your situations for good. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say after me once again, my God is able. My God is able. That's God's ability. Moving ahead, we move ahead to God's abundance. I said I have four A's. Number one, God's ability. You experience God's ability. Number two, you experience God's abundance. Just take a look at that verse again, self. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And tell me how many times you see the word all. How many times you see the word all in that one verse? How many times did you see the word all in that one verse? Where the word all is also equal to the word every. How many times do you see the word all? Reading from the NIV, said, "And my God, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every," or you say, "all good work." In the context of cheerful giving, you have all. Scattering everywhere. All. God's abundance. Make all grace abound toward you. Wow. You see, there is grace as the gospel, and there is grace as the product of the gospel. Mm-hmm. That by the power of the gospel, you are now in grace. That means a strength to do something comes to you. You need to do something. You need to get something done. You need to achieve something. What you need is grace. That grace as a product of grace. And God is saying, in the context of cheerful giving, God is able to make not some grace, all grace. Wow. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Oh, wow. That's something. There is grace needed to do certain things. Grace needed to prosper and fulfill destiny. Now, in the context of cheerful giving, scripture says you will enjoy all grace. And I pray in the name of Jesus, whatever the area of your life that you seem to be lacking help, God's grace will locate it, and that in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. So we move ahead. We have God's ability. We have God's abundance. But then if the personal fruit of the amount also extends to God's answers. Still sitting on that verse 8. Look at it carefully. God's answers. I like it. The NIV says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times. Wow, I like that. Having all that you need. Like, seriously? God said it. And it is right there in the context of cheerful giving. Remember, not just any giving, cheerful. Cheerful giving. A giving that comes out of a heart of grace, not bound by the law, not based on debt, not based on what is left, not able, not based on never being able to touch what is kept. No. Cheerful. 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 Rich in good works. God's answers. Having all that you need. Having all that you need. This means you will enjoy divine answers to prayers, and you won't be stranded in relevant things of life as it pertains to your welfare and destiny. In the name of Jesus, God shows to you that He is a prayer answering God. I pray in the name of Jesus for someone here, if you care to say amen, your daily life will be marked by a miracle. You will just know that Nkoto Sheleyi is a miracle. It's a miracle. A miracle happened here. A miracle happened here. You will always experience God's answers in the name of Jesus. And finally, under the personal fruits of the amount, still on 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Now read it carefully. He said, and God will generously provide all you need. The NLT, thanks for giving me the NLT. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Remember I said, you, where your full stop is where matters. Generosity in order to get to give. Thank you, Jesus. Then finally, God's assistance. You enjoy God's assistance. KJV says you will abound in every good work. Okay, that's NIV. Yes, and I think it's same for KJV. You will abound in every good work. That means you will be kept in the circle of generosity. You will be helped to lay hold on eternal life. And you also reap everlasting life even from now. You know, there is you having an everlasting life as a fruit of salvation, placing your faith. And there is you reaping eternal life. There are two places in scriptures where eternal life was placed as a reward. Let them charge them to distribute, ready to give, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:16-18, 16-19. It was in the context of generosity. Then, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap everlasting life. Sorry, do we reap everlasting life? Oh, you can in the context of cheerful giving. It is you enjoying divine assistance as it relates to the ease of the gospel. It is a power-packed reward. You will abound in every good work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I just quoted 1 Timothy 6:16-19, then Galatians 6:6-9. Hallelujah. And that is for the personal fruits of the amount. Lay your right hand on your head and say, I enjoy the personal fruits of the amount. In Jesus' name. Amen. The public fruits. Public fruits. Now that one suits me pass. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 9-15. 9-15. This one, if you want us to do it, I'll just give about 30 seconds. I need you to give me the verse. 2 Corinthians 9:9-15. I need you to give me the verse if we must do it. I'll just give about 30 seconds. If not, we just jump it. Go and be enjoying the personal fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul spent much time in explaining the public fruits of the amount. He spent much time in explaining the public fruits of the amount. Thank you, Jesus. What are the public fruits that you get to experience, to enjoy, for choosing the path of generosity, choosing the path of cheerful giving, towards the propagation of the gospel, towards the appreciation of the minister, and towards the, thank you, Jesus, and towards the intervention for the ministered. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 to 15. 10 seconds more. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Mr. Michael, thanks for dropping this. Oh, Dr. Michael, thanks for dropping this. Okay. So I want us to look carefully. And then let's see the rewards that God gives. On a public note, please don't miss it because it's so powerful. Don't miss this at all. The public reward, the public fruits of the amount. Paul took time. You see, Paul did not just teach that you should do it. He didn't teach the collection. He also taught the administration. We did that last week. How he himself handled it. And then he also taught the reward. And that's what we're about to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 9 to 15. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the wants of the saints, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. I'm coming somewhere. Whilst by the experiments of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So I have four eyes to show you here as the public fruits of your generosity. Should we run it? Follow carefully. It's quite interesting. Thank you, Jesus. Number one, you will experience increased inspiration. Remember, we're talking about public fruits, public reward. That means people will be inspired to give thanks to God for you. It's a powerful thing, you know, that people are thanking God for you. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Dami. Even if they are not mentioning your name, the church is mentioning your name. The minister is mentioning your name. Thanking God for you. Thanking God for you. Even if your name is not mentioned, in their thanksgiving for making things happen, God is hearing your name. Increased inspiration. Take note of that verse. Look at it carefully. What verse is this now that said, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God? That's verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supply the wants of the saints, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Paul was driving home a point. Your lifestyle is bringing thanksgiving to God from people. They may not even know you, but God is hearing your name when they are giving thanks. Wow. You see, your generosity will lead to many giving thanks to God on your behalf for the gospel spread. You see, there are some people who won't stop thanking God for the last Abeokuta conference they attended. But you were a major part of it. God is hearing your name when they say, Oluwa Osheo, that I attended that conference. You were part of those that made it happen. Thank you, Jesus. You see how Paul was emphatic. Which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Your bountifulness. Which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Moving ahead, you also experience increased indication. No, don't let us go to indication yet. Let's do increased intervention. Increased intervention. You've already known my third point already. I want to follow it the way that verse dropped it. So the first one is increased inspiration. People are inspired to give thanks, which is also a blessing. It's a reward that generates rewards. You know that kind of thing. Then increased intervention, another reward that generates reward. Read with me, verse 11 and 12 again. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service not only supplies the wants of the saints. You have intervened for the wants, both the spiritual wants and the physical wants of the saints. It is a public reward that God considers it a reward, counting you as those that intervened. It is a reward that generates reward. The inspiration generates reward. The intervention generates reward. Whereas the inspiration and intervention itself are rewards. Hallelujah. A gift that keeps on giving. So increased inspiration, increased intervention. Then very quickly we talk about the increased indication. Hallelujah. Increased indication. And I love this aspect. Let me read your versions. Whether I will see my indication better in your versions. Thank you, Jesus. I like that as the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seeds for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, we provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. You see the reward? A great harvest of generosity. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. That's now verse 12. I'm reading the NLT. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. That's the intervention. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. That's the inspiration. Verse 13. As a result of this thing you did, they will give glory to God. Follow carefully. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove, we are in indication now, right? That you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Please let me let you know that among other things that God counts as a good work that shows that truly you are a believer, cheerful giving is among the paramounts. You think it is this lifestyle. See, cheerful giving is one of those things that indicates that indeed you are a believer. Christian Lenny, I was listening to a story where an atheist was talking with Charles Spurgeon. And the atheist that's very long, very long, many years ago. And the atheist was like, oh, this Christianity things. Christianity, what is Christianity? You see, atheism will soon dominate everywhere. Atheism is the way of life. Atheism is how man is going to find his fulfillment in health. Atheism. And Charles Spurgeon just asked him a question. Please, can you point me to any atheism orphanage? And the guy was dumbfounded. Because there's nothing like that. But he knew that everywhere there was Christian orphanages. There is something about Christianity and helping. There is something about Christianity and giving. How much more, especially to the spread of the gospel and the appreciation of the ministers and then the intervention for the ministers in the context of the gospel. Cheerful giving is a proof that you are obedient to the faith. That's what we read now. It will prove that you are obedient to the good news. You heard the gospel and you believed it. The way to show that you truly believe that Jesus has taken away all your sins is how you start giving in the context of the gospel. So you see, increased indication. So in the personally, we have God's ability, we have God's abundance, we have God's answers, we have God's assistance. In the publicly, you will be enjoying increased inspiration. Check, does this thing no sweet on her? It's sweet meal. Increased intervention, increased indication, and finally, this one sweet me. Increased intercession. 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 No. Follow me now. Verse 13 and verse 14. I want to still read in this NLT. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Verse 14. And they will pray for you. Hey! Me, I like this one. With deep affection. Because of the overflowing grace God has given you. You see, it is a reward that is given. It is a reward that is rewarded. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss the fact that you can take an action that makes people to start praying for you. You can take an action. When God allows increased intercession on your behalf. Increased intercession on your behalf. The church is praying for you. The minister is praying for you. See, I believe by scriptural conjunctions, I know this to be true, that I am praying on points when I say, Daddy, let your abundance locate all who give generously to the ministry of the gospel of grace. I am praying on points. because they will give more. Remember, the reward of cheerful giving is that you get more generous. It's more generosity. The reward of generosity is that it generates more generosity. If they are currently generous at their current level, God will help them to be more generous at their next level. So it is okay to pray for them. You enjoy people praying, even if they don't mention your name. There are some prayers that people are praying. What they are simply saying is they are mentioning your name before God. Do you know that the Bible talks about the angels of children mentioning their names before the Father? Angels can mention your name. All these things happen in spiritual intercession, and God is showing you that this is one way it happens. You hear people praying for you with deep affection, even though they don't know your name, but angels are mentioning your name. This thing, Folakeni. Dareni. Increase intercession. Damini. Michaelni. Ezekeni. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for everyone who has listened to this teaching. In the name of Jesus, you will enjoy increased inspiration, increased intervention, increased indication, and increased intercession. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord will count you as a cheerful giver. Your name will be mentioned. Sheguni, Abigail, Tokpe Loruko in Daruko, Moyoni, Caroline, whose name have I not mentioned? Mommy B. I'm trying to mention as many names that I can. Tobini, in the name of Jesus Christ, your name will be mentioned in the heavenlies as a cheerful giver. And that's in Jesus' name. Receive it, receive it, receive it graciously in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for today. And with this, we come to the end of both today's teaching and the series, the Sermon on the Mount. Was it a blessing? Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for hanging on. All right, let's just give God thanks for what we have learned. And let's just say in just a few words, Daddy, let this word of grace yield fruit in my life. Indeed, I am a cheerful giver. Indeed, I am a cheerful giver. I enjoy divine ability. I enjoy divine abundance. I enjoy divine answers. And I enjoy God's assistance in the name of Jesus. I enjoy increased inspiration. People are giving thanks to God, and my name is actually being mentioned in the heavenlies. I enjoy increased intervention. I am a blessing to people, and it is rewarding me back. I'm rewarded with an intervention that is rewarding in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, increased indication. I hope we are praying, Lord, I enjoy increased indication that I am truly a believer. In the name of Jesus Christ, and increased intercession. In the name of Jesus, I am blessed in every way. In Jesus' holy name, amen.